Let us hear God's word. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste, and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee, because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of all them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Amen. May God give the blessing to the reading of his infallible word. Well, tonight we come to verse 58. As I was thinking of returning to Psalm 119, I was considering, should we take more verses each evening? However, when you come to this psalm, there's so much in each verse, and I do not believe it would be justice to the psalm, or would do justice to the psalm, just to fleet over the verses. There's so much. Well, let's come then to verse 58 tonight. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Dear congregation, grace and mercy we need each and every day. Therefore let us make our application unto the Lord, believing that he will grant what we need in accordance to his word. And in this verse we see the psalmist earnestly praying that he might have an audience with the Lord, that he would know God's favour, that he would be helped in a merciful way. And yet we also see here his faith. Notice that there in the end of verse 58. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. He's a man of faith, and he's exercising faith in this little petition here in verse 58. He needs the favour of God. He needs God's mercy, he applies for it, and as he does so, he believes that the Lord will bestow that upon him, what he needs. Admire his faith. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. And dear brothers and sisters, do not we seek the Lord's face, believing that he will give what we need? Yes, at times we would say with that man, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But when we truly pray, there is to some measure the exercise of faith, and we believe the Lord will give what we need. Over in the New Testament, we read in 1 John 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He has promised, as we shall see a little later, to bestow mercy upon us. So do not we come in confidence, in view of God's word, believing that he will grant us our request. He will in grace bow down his ear, and in mercy he will grant. Let us therefore humbly seek his face, taking comfort that through grace he will bestow what we need. He is our covenant God. Just go back to verse 57. We considered this before the summer holidays. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Thou art my portion. And here the psalmist is amazed at God, that God through grace, as we see in Exodus 20, has given himself over to him. I am the Lord thy God. We read there in Exodus 20. What grace! He's our covenant God. We can say tonight, thou art my portion. He will not fail us. He will grant what we need. Well, let's come now directly to verse 58. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. First of all, simply entreating God's favour. And then secondly, praying for mercy. Now, right at the outset, we see how the two link together. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. We desire the smile of God, his favor, so that we would know mercy. They're linked together. When we think of mercy and the gifts of mercy that we know each and every day, is it not because of his grace? We do not deserve those gifts of mercy. They come because of his grace. It's linked together. And ought to pray more like the psalmist here, thinking of grace and mercy. You know, when we think of mercy, it's a greater aid to us to think of God's grace, that all that we have comes because of favor, because of his grace. When we think of grace, what an encouragement to pray for those gifts of mercy that we need. Well, let's consider first of all then, entreating God's favor. Now we consider plainly the psalmist is engaged in true prayer. I entreated thy favor. He's considered what he's done in the past and what he's doing at the present time. He's come to the Lord. He's sought the Lord's face. He's truly praying. What a blessing we can look back and consider the Lord has enabled us and strengthened us to pray. Our prayers at times may have seemed feeble, but the Lord has helped us to pray. And we know the blessing of the present, what it is to go to him in prayer. I entreated by favor. He's truly praying. And sometimes prayers are uttered and it's just words on the lips. But not so here with the psalmist. He truly turns to God in prayer. Now we're encouraged to pray. You recall those words in Psalm 27 verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's the invitation. There's the invitation to entreat the Lord's face, as we shall consider here in a moment in verse 58. We are welcome. We are welcome to apply for grace. We are welcome to ask God for mercy. Seek ye my face, says the Lord. How do we respond? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'm going to pray. I'm going to entreat the face of God. I entreated thy favor. Me. I have, Lord. I've sought thy face. We can think of others who are praying. But we ourselves seek the face of God. Later tonight, one will lead in prayer, speaking on behalf of others. And we all join in prayer, don't we? Because one is leading and we make the prayer our own. We seek the face of God. We're not just listening to someone uttering words. We make the prayer our own. The one leading in prayer, leading the church in prayer. And we make the prayer our own. We seek God's face. We ourselves come to the Lord. I entreated thy favor. When somebody tonight prays for favor, we say to the Lord, I'm praying for it. That one is speaking for me. I entreated thy favor. I drew near. I approached him. I spake to the living God. And what a thought it is, I entreated thy favor. I drew near to God. I asked him in a merciful way to listen to me, and he heard me. I entreated thy favor. What a blessing to pray, to know fellowship with God, to pour out our hearts before him. Well, let's come to this word, entreated. The Hebrew is kolah, and at the root of the word, it means, first of all, to be rubbed or worn down. But then it also has the meaning to make prayer, to entreat. And if you bring the two thoughts together in the Hebrew word, to be rubbed down, to be worn, but then to entreat, to pray, here's one They have their needs, they're humbled through affliction, and they're seeking God's face. In 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12, we read this of Manasseh. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. It's the same Hebrew word, he besought or he entreated. He was in affliction. He was worn down by affliction, and he sought the face of God. It's interesting, the Hebrew word can be translated also as sick, as Hezekiah was sick. Worn down in affliction, sick in affliction. But then the other aspect of the word, seeking God's face, making prayer. And is not the Hebrew word an aid in affliction? When we're worn down in affliction, when we're rubbed and we feel the pain, we are to entreat the Lord. We are to make our prayer. You may remember Hezekiah, rather, when he had the blasphemous letter of Sennacherib. He spread it before the Lord. He was worn down by Sennacherib. He entreated the Lord. A different Hebrew word, but it's translated as entreated. Remember Isaac, he entreated the Lord for his wife, we're told, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. There's Isaac, he's bringing the situation to the Lord. And the Lord heard, the Lord was entreated. Isaac made prayer, the Lord responded to his prayer. How God has been entreated, how he has listened, and he has answered in accordance to his will. Remember again those words in 1 John 5 verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything in accordance to his will, what is part of his revealed will, it's this: he will sow favour to his people, and he will bestow mercy. So you can make this prayer your own tonight. You entreat the Lord for favour, and mercy you will find. He will send mercy. We know when we pray for grace and mercy, we can have that confidence because he has promised to bestow it upon us. I entreat it. I've made my prayer. I've been rubbed down in affliction, worn down through trial, and I make my prayer. I've been burdened with my sins. I make my prayer to the Lord. So we considered, I entreat it by favour. The psalmist personally, in affliction, feeling his sin, made his way to the Lord and made prayer. But let's consider now particularly these words, thy favour. Thy favour. We can think of the word favour here. The Hebrews translated this favour. But then particularly, the Hebrews translated here as face. We often think of the hiding of God's face in the Word of God. And that's associated with his anger. But here's the reverse. Seeking the favour or the face of God speaks of the light of his countenance. The favourable smile, not the hiding of his face, but the favourable smile of God, the gracious smile of the Lord. I entreat thy favour. He wants an audience with the Lord as he came to pray. And that's what he's done. He sought the Lord. He desires the light of God's countenance. He desires to know that favourable acquaintance with God. I entreated thy favour. I have made my prayer in affliction unto thee, O Lord, that I might know the smile of thy face, the light of thy countenance. That's what's at the root of the Hebrew here in these words. I do not want to know the hiding of thy face. As we see in Psalm 13, I want to know the smile of thy face. I want to be able to talk with thee, knowing thy favour. Thy favourable presence. You know, when we come to the Lord, there may be sometimes when we We come in prayer and we feel, is the Lord smiling? And so we make our prayer, Lord, I entreat thy favour. I desire to know admittance, to know thy presence and the smile of thy face. Listen to John Gill commenting on these words, thy face. To see it or thy presence, to enjoy it, to have communion with God and the light of his countenance, which is more desirable and delightful to a gracious man than anything else. The face of God. We're desiring to be able to commune with God, knowing he smiles upon us. At times there is the frown. And we recognize that, don't we? We've strayed. There's the frown of God. Remember when Peter, he denied the Lord and the cock crew. And the Lord turned and he looked on Peter. Peter beheld the eyes of Christ. And oh, he would have sensed the frown of Christ. And there's times when we sense the frown of Christ, there is also God's anger. In view of the believer, there is fatherly anger over the face, the light of his countenance, the favour of God. You know, there were times when I annoyed my mum. I used to do it often, I have to confess. And she would get a little cross. She was very good at holding her tongue, being calm. But I would irritate her. And she would justly tell me off and send me to my room. And when I felt what I had done, I would go and knock on the door of the lounge or the bedroom and go to see her. I wonder, would she accept me? Of course she would. And she would say, well, you did wrong. But then she would open her arms and she would give me a hug. And I knew there was favour. And then she would smile. Don't do it again. But she would smile. Oh, to know the face of God. The light of his countenance. Psalm 31 verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. It's all there, isn't it? That's like a commentary on these words here in verse 58. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Lord, we do not desire the hiding of thy face. No, I entreat thy favour, thy face. I desire that favourable time with thee. I desire that thou would shine upon me. Oh, for his gracious presence. I desire an audience with the King. Let him come and smile upon me. Oh, to know that sweet communion, to know thy favour. I entreated thy favour, or in the Hebrew can be translated as thy face. And dear brethren, when we come to pray, do not we desire the smile of God? We need mercy. We desire, therefore, the smile of God. And you consider how many times he's helped you in a merciful way. How often God has smiled upon you. I begin with myself, but I know you'll agree with this. There have been times when he has frowned, but how often he has smiled. We can tell that by the many gifts he has bestowed. Well, the psalmist was earnest here in prayer. I entreated thy favour. He was worn down, rubbed by affliction, worn down in trial. He earnestly makes his request, like Jacob did with the angel. You recall Jacob, he met an angel. We just picked this up in Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man and with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob, he goes that night to pray, and he's found there wrestling with a man, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, there in the form of a man, not the nature, but the form of a man. And there Jacob's wrestling with the Lord. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He's so earnest in prayer. And after the Lord blesses him, Jacob calls the place, name of the place Peniel, and says this, For I have seen God face to face. There in prayer he was entreating the favour of God, the face of God, and then he began to wrestle with the Lord. And he saw God face to face. He was admitted. He knew the favour of the Lord. There was blessing, there was mercy. Jacob knew the face of God. Well, in the spiritual way, here in prayer, we know the face of God when God shows mercy. Let's wrestle in prayer like Jacob. Like the psalmist here, I entreated thy favour, thy face. Jacob did not know who it was till afterwards. We know who it is now. Let us wrestle with the Lord. And in such a gracious way, he allows us to prevail in accordance to his will. And he blesses us. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 verse 16. We need grace. We need mercy. Let us seek the face of God. Our sins are many. Our trials are numerous. Let us seek the face of God. Now before we move to a close, just notice how the psalmist came to the Lord. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. His heart was in it. You know, there were times my mum observed me filling up the coal scuttle. And she knew at times my heart was not in it. Put the shovel in and slowly put some coal into the scuttle. And I would get annoyed, and I didn't realise at times my mum was looking on. She knew at times my heart was not in it. Dear brothers and sisters, at times the Lord knows if our heart is not in prayer. And if we're honest, we soon identify the same as well. But notice the psalmist here. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. My heart was engaged. What a blessing it is when we find our hearts moved. You know, we may not be able to pronounce the words or put the words into great sentences in prayer, but we feel it. The words come from our hearts. We see in Romans the groanings within. Sometimes the groanings within are more powerful than the chapters of prayer. My whole heart, that's how I want to pray each time. It's not always been the case. My whole heart, there was sincerity, there was truth within, there was activity, there was affection, there was faith being exercised. His eye was on the Lord, his heart was stirred, his heart was moved. My whole heart, he says to the Lord, and he notices, he makes it known to the Lord. The Lord knows everything. The psalmist could in sincerity say to the Lord, with my whole heart, the Lord knows. The Puritan Walter Marshall wrote, Prayer is chiefly a heart work. God heareth the heart without the mouth, but never heareth the mouth acceptably without the heart. Prayer is chiefly a heart work. God heareth the heart without the mouth, but never heareth the mouth acceptably without the heart. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalms 27, verse 8. Well, here's the psalmist then. He sought the face of God. He desired that favorable time with the Lord in prayer, that comfortable communion with the Lord, the light of his countenance, the smile of his face. He's done that. And now he's asking for mercy. Well, as we come to conclusion tonight, secondly, praying for mercy. You know, he's thought so much of God as he's approached him in prayer. I think of those words in Psalm 100, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. You know, we come, may have been a long week, and it's the Lord's Day, and there's things on our mind. Let's seek to come with thanksgiving. Been a long day, maybe weary. Lawful things are on our mind, maybe considering them, but let's seek to come with thanksgiving. You know, that's a key verse, isn't it? Along with Psalm 65, the good and the blessing are preparation before we formally worship the Lord. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Praise waiteth for thee in Zion, Psalm 65, verse 1. There's this silence before the Lord. We're thinking of the Lord, we're preparing the heart. Well, that's what the psalmist has been doing. He's entreated the favour of God. He's thought about the Lord. He desires the smile of God's face. And he's made his prayer, and now he's further asking for mercy. You know, it's a great aid to prayer, isn't it? When we think of God prior to prayer. Well, let's consider this secondly, praying for mercy. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Remember what we considered at the outset? Not only do we see the psalmist engaged in true prayer, but we also see here, underlined in that true prayer, faith. He's believing God's word. You know, it's good to believe the word of God when we come to pray. He's meditated upon and is resting in the promises of God. Think of the promises of God. Just two of them I mentioned. Remember what the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 33 verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I will. And we are his people, his covenant people. He will show mercy. Let's entreat his favour then. The smile of his face, that we might know mercy. The psalmist looks back, he considers the word. It's a good aid to prayer, isn't it? Not only to consider God, but to consider his word. We're praying for help. Consider his word. There's mercy and help in time of need. Hebrews 4 verse 15. Remember Solomon in prayer. He said this, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. 1 Kings 8 verse 23. He keepeth covenant and mercy. Mercy he keeps because he keeps covenant. He will never break the covenant of grace. Therefore, mercy will come. Reflect on that. He will not go back on his word. The covenant will never be broken. We seek mercy then. He has promised to keep mercy. He's promised to keep mercy for me. And what an ocean of mercy awaits me. What a storehouse of mercy still further is to be unfolded before me. Think of the promises. He's promised to show you mercy. So you're praying for something you know in the bottom of your heart is yours already. And so you focus. You believe on God in prayer that mercy will come. He has promised mercy for you in every situation. Oh, to plead for mercy, believing the gift of mercy will come. What wonderful promises there are for the people of God because of the covenant of grace. Promises because of Christ who came into the world and satisfied divine justice. There are the promises. What an encouragement to pray. John Newton penned these words, "Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Thy promise is mine only plea, with this I venture nigh. Thou calls burdened souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I." We're seeking the favour of God, the smile of his face. We're looking for mercy in view of the promise. We venture near to God, believing he will show mercy. Cling to the promises before you pray for mercy. That will help you to pray for mercy. And you think of this. If we cling to the promises before we pray, I tell you this, we'll be found thanking God for mercy that is coming. He will not break his word. Cling to the promises and pray for mercy. No wonder Satan comes to cause you to doubt the word of God, because he does not want you to pray for that which is assured mercy. Well, let's just in closing just open this up a little. Cling to the promises and pray for mercy. First of all, pardoning mercy. Psalm 51 verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." There's the psalmist, he's been convicted about his sin. There's gospel repentance. He's already believed, he's already repented, but we see further the exercise of it, because he's seeking mercy in true repentance, which is called gospel repentance. One feels their sin, but they also seek mercy. Why did we go to the Lord? Because we believed there was forgiveness with him. What's the point of prayer if we do not believe in pardoning mercy? If we do not believe in pardoning mercy, we have to conclude in Psalm 66 that the Lord, as we see there, the Lord will not hear our prayer. But there is pardoning mercy. But when we as the Lord's people humble ourselves and repent of our sins truly, we think of mercy. Lord, forgive me. Wash me freely from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. We pray for mercy because we know the promise that there is forgiveness with the Lord. Psalm 130. We seek mercy. We believe our Heavenly Father will forgive us. Now this is amazing, isn't it? We feel our sin. How have we done this? Why have we done this? We failed the Lord. Yet in repenting, we believe the one we have grieved will show mercy. That's amazing, isn't it? The one we have grieved will show mercy. Yes, there may be the frown. There may be the withdrawing to a distance, as we see in the Song of Solomon. By night I sought him, but I couldn't find him. But he will show mercy. Put this all together. I entreat to thy favour. There's the psalmist. He thinks of the need of forgiveness. Lord, I'm seeking the smile of thy face, that I might know pardoning mercy. Secondly, supporting mercy. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You know you've been sinking in affliction, worn down in trial, and you've made your entreaty to the Lord, and the Lord supported you. It's because of his favour, but particularly there in Psalm 94, it's because of his mercy. My foot slippeth, thy mercy held me up. A few years ago, a few young people walked up the hill. When we used to get good winters and the pond used to freeze over, and the young people, including myself, probably about 25 years or so ago, we walked up there. And some of us, we held our each other's arms to support each other, because we would slip on the ice. But then there was the arm of support. What a mercy it is, your Heavenly Father, when you're slipping, takes hold of your hand. My foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You may feel I'm slipping and slipping and slipping. God's power is so great, and his mercy is infinite. He is more than able to support you. When you are slipping, you may not be aware of it, but the hand of mercy comes. And that's why you do not slip beyond that which you're able to bear. Thirdly, directing mercy. Exodus 15, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Directing mercy. God in his mercy led forth the children of Israel. There was the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud because of the mercy of the Lord. There was the angel, the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ there in the wilderness because of mercy. And Christ on an errand of mercy directed the children of Israel. And so Christ on an errand of mercy in a spiritual way and through his word directs us. With directing mercy. It may be dark. He leads us on in the darkness. Isaiah 50. He leads us forth. We'll seek mercy. And take comfort in mercy. In a moment we're going to sing those words in Psalm 103. Rather, we're not going to sing those words. Perhaps on the Lord's Day. Psalm 103 verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Take comfort in that. Therefore we can pray for it. It is important we pray for mercy we need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's come boldly. Why? Because of Christ. Nothing in ourselves. It's not a self-righteous boldness. No, it's a boldness, a liberty because of Christ. And we can come as God's children. Entreating God's face, the smile of his countenance, and asking him for mercy. Help us in prayer, Lord. Favour us as we come. And bestow mercy upon us. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, how often thou hast smiled upon us, and every smile has been undeserved. Lord, we thank thee again, we can seek thy face. And we pray that we might again this evening night hour know the light of thy countenance and that sweet communion with thee, and we would seek mercy. And as we do so, the mercy we need in every area of our lives, pardoning mercy, supporting mercy, directing mercy, we would simply thank thee that mercy is coming. For Christ's sake, Amen.